morning. And so let's do that on this day where we find ourselves on the first Sunday of the new year. I'm going to ask you to turn to Proverbs chapter 8 with me. Proverbs 8, we plan to pick up our study in Hebrews later this month, Lord willing, but this morning I'd like to turn our attention to one very particular subject that's worth considering any time, but may be especially appropriate at the start of a new year. It's a time when many folks are making New Year's resolutions. Maybe you're somebody that does that. Maybe you're not someone that makes New Year's resolutions. And that's fine. Either way, we're not going to consider the subject of resolutions broadly this morning, but focus on one potential resolution that Christians sometimes find themselves making at the start of a new year. And again, it doesn't matter whether or not you make New Year's resolutions. Some people think they are the best thing ever, and other people think it's a waste of time. I don't think the Bible tells us that we have to or that we can't. And so what you do there is your privilege. But one thing that God calls us to, that many Christians find themselves resolving at the beginning of a new year, is not sort of a take-it-or-leave-it option like you might think resolutions are. Many people will find themselves resolving to read God's Word on a daily basis. Come to the beginning of a new year and say, I'm going to read God's Word every day this year. I'm going to read through the whole Bible this year. And they resolve in different ways to do that. What I want to think together this morning about from God's Word is the importance of regularly, daily, being in the Word of God. This, I don't believe, is something that Christians can take or leave without consequence to their spiritual well-being. It's essential to our spiritual health. And this happens to be a convenient time to talk about it at the beginning of a new year. There are things that we need to do every day. There are things that you all do every day, whether you realize it or not. You breathe every day, right? You say, I'm going to take a day off. Breathing, you will die, all right? Actually, your body will keep breathing for you, but you can't take a day off. You have to breathe every day. That's obvious. You eat every day. Imagine what would happen if you didn't eat every day. I'll just have a meal here or there. Maybe once a week, I'll eat a lot, and that will hold me for the rest of the week. Your health would tank. It would plummet. Death would become a very real possibility if you didn't eat on a regular basis. So think about drinking, our need for hydration. We need water every day. I drink lots of water. I try to drink lots of water, probably not as much as I should, but I like water. I think it's good. And you all drink every day. You take in some kind of liquid every day. Maybe it's coffee, something caffeinated, something not as clear as water. But we need this every day. If you don't drink, you will eventually get dehydrated and die. If you say, I'll just drink once a week, you're going to be in real trouble. We need to bathe on a daily basis, or close to it. If we don't, we will begin to smell. We will look disheveled. Our skin will suffer. We will be disgusting people. Showering once a week, while it might improve your appearance for a moment, can't get you really clean. Think about brushing your teeth. If you only do it once a week or when you feel like it, your teeth are probably going to rot out of your head. People might run the other way when you open your mouth to speak. I hope that these things are givens for you, right? We daily eat, drink, bathe, brush our teeth, lots of other things that we could talk about. Breathe every day. But today I want to talk about something different that I have in mind that we should do daily if we're to maintain our spiritual health. And we've turned here to Proverbs 8, and I want you to look at the last few verses of Proverbs 8 with me. Proverbs 8, 32 to 36. In Proverbs 8, beginning at verse 32, this is God's word. And now, O sons, listen. This is the voice. This is wisdom talking, all right? I got ahead of myself. Wisdom is giving a speech in Proverbs 8, the first part of Proverbs 9. She's calling out. It's personified as a woman. Lady Wisdom is calling. Come. And so she says in verse 32, And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. We are daily to be about the business of listening to wisdom. Just like the things that we mentioned with regard to our physical health and appearance, if we don't do this on a regular basis, if we only sporadically listen to the voice of wisdom when we feel like it, or maybe once a week, or rarely, then we won't have wisdom. We won't know God's truth as we ought. And if we're to live according to wisdom and truth, then we have to know it. And so at this turn of of the year, let's learn, or probably for most of you, simply be reminded. This is something you know already. And so be reminded of it this morning, about the importance of not just getting wisdom, but of getting wisdom daily, regularly, consistently, on an ongoing basis. If you don't have a plan to do so, to get wisdom on a daily basis, I hope that you'll walk away today convinced of the need for such a plan. To neglect this will lead to the decline and deterioration of your spiritual health and well-being. It doesn't matter how old you are. You're young, you can read. If you're very young, your parents can read to you. You can establish those habits as a child. If you're old, you're not too far gone, too far set in your ways to say, well, it's too late now to pick up the habit. And if you're anywhere in between, this is a practice that will serve you well. Now is the time to develop a practice to lay a firm foundation for your spiritual health, or to continue to grow in it, or to start reversing a trend in the opposite direction. You might be at various points. Maybe you are regularly taking in God's word today. Good. Just be encouraged to continue all the more and to strive for greater likeness to Christ. Maybe you're kind of stagnant. You do it a little bit here and there. Be encouraged to grow, to become more consistent. And maybe you're moving in the opposite direction. Maybe your health is gone spiritually. Wherever you are, this is advice that we all need. This is scriptural direction that we all need to consistently take in God's truth. And so we pray that God will write these things on our heart this morning. Let's talk today about what we're to do. Four things today. What we're to do, the frequency with which we're to do it, the blessings associated with doing so, and the curses associated with neglecting it. All right, so we start with what we're to do, and that is get wisdom. Look at verse 32 again. This is wisdom speaking. O sons, listen to me. Verse 33, hear instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. Verse 34, blessed is the one who listens to me, to wisdom. Again, Proverbs 8 and 9 are a portrait of Lady Wisdom. Proverbs gives you Lady Wisdom crying out in their competing voices. And they were voices that you will hear all of your life. You'll hear wisdom calling and you will hear folly calling out to you. And the question is, which voice will you listen to? Which voice will you follow? Well, Proverbs 8, the first part of Proverbs 9 are about Lady Wisdom. And you see partway through Proverbs 9 at verse 13, woman folly, Lady Folly is introduced in verse 13 of Proverbs 9. That's the competing voice. But here it's Lady Wisdom crying out to those who pass by, trying to get the foolish and the naive to turn in and to not be foolish and naive anymore, to learn wisdom. Listen to my ways, pay attention to me. It's a beautiful passage extolling the virtues of wisdom. And her plea is this: listen to me. Pay attention. Don't let just my voice go in one ear and out the other. No, take it and soak it in. Earlier, Proverbs 4 and verse 7 says, the beginning of wisdom is this. All right, here it is. The beginning of wisdom. How do I get wisdom? How do I start down the path of wisdom? The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Sort of obvious, I suppose. And whatever you get insight. Well, how do we do that? Well, we listen to Lady Wisdom. Well, how do we do that? Where does she live? This talks about her house. Chapter 9, Wisdom has built her house, seven pillars. She's done all this. She's gotten ready. And she's calling people to come into her house. She'll say, I don't know where Lady Wisdom lives. All right. Lady Wisdom does not dwell at a particular house, at a particular address, in a particular city or state or country. I suppose that's obvious to us, but some people say, oh, I don't know where she lives, so I don't know where to go and get wisdom. Lady Wisdom is actually the voice of Christ calling out. The New Testament tells us that Christ is the wisdom of God. And so when wisdom calls out, it's Christ calling out to us. And you say, okay, so where do I find the voice of Christ? You all know the answer. It's here. This is the voice of Lady Wisdom. This is the voice of Christ calling out to you. It's the Word of God contained for us in the pages of this book. This is God's special revelation to us. It's where we learn of God the Creator, man the sinner, Christ the Redeemer, the Holy Spirit the Comforter, and how we, sinful, fallen men, can be made right with a holy God. The good news of the gospel, what Jesus Christ has done for sinners like us, and how then we are to live as followers of Christ, all contained for us in the pages of God's Word. We've just sung, how firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent Word. This is where you find the wisdom of God. It's in the pages of Scripture. That's where we hear the voice of wisdom. So if that's where wisdom is, how do we listen to the voice of wisdom? Well, we pick up that book and we read it. We open our eyes and our eyes go across the page, and maybe we voice the words as we read them. We read the Word of God. We'll say more about that. We also hear God's wisdom in the preaching and teaching of that Word. It's the task of ministers to faithfully proclaim the wisdom that's revealed in the Scriptures. And so you can hear the voice of wisdom wherever the Word is faithfully preached. You can hear it in faithful teaching of the Word, like in a Sunday school class or a Bible study. And if that's going to happen, if you want to get wisdom through the preaching of the Word, you need to be there. And you need to pay attention. Listen to your pastors, your Sunday school teachers. If they're faithfully teaching the Word, don't tune them out. Don't daydream. Pay attention to the preaching of the Word of God, and you will hear the voice of wisdom. For you children and young people, a source of wisdom to whom you must listen is your parents. God has given them to you so that you can listen to them and be wise. Make sure you do just that. Listen, many of the Proverbs are a father's plea to his son to listen, to pay attention. It's a father passing on wisdom to his children. And so parents, there's a great responsibility here for you to pass on wisdom to your children, to pass on the truth of God's Word to your children. And children, there's a great responsibility to listen to the voice of wisdom as it comes to you through your parents. Another place we hear the voice of wisdom is in nature. Creation is a teacher that teaches us wisdom if we have eyes to see and ears to hear. It reveals the existence of the Creator, His eternal power and divine nature. Listen when creation speaks. When you marvel at God's creation, you see a beautiful sunset. You say, oh, that's so beautiful. And the new fallen snow to some of you is a beautiful thing. To others of us, it's less beautiful. But whatever part of creation that you are looking at and marveling at and wondering at, don't just think, oh, that's beautiful. See and admire and learn about the beauty of the Creator of that creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. And so if you have eyes to see, the world that He has made is a voice of wisdom. And so how do you listen to the voice of wisdom? Well, you read His Word. You listen to it preached. You hear your parents teach it. You see it in creation. But not only are we to listen, we're to keep the ways that wisdom shows us. You see verse 32, and now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. All of the listening in the world won't do us any good if we don't practice what we hear. You could come to church every Sunday, you could open your Bible every day and read it. And if you don't take it and apply it to your life and go and live it out, it won't do you any good. You'll know a lot, but if you're not living according to it, it won't serve you well. James puts it this way in James 1:22, but be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Pretty easy to deceive yourself. Oh, I read the Bible every day. I'm good. I go to church regularly. If you're only hearing and not living it out, you're deceiving yourself. And that's what Lady Wisdom says here. Listen to me and keep my ways. Put into practice what you hear. But you're not going to be able to do what Lady Wisdom says if you don't listen to what she says. If you don't know what it is you're supposed to do, they go hand in hand. You must listen and you must do. You'll only be truly wise if you absorb the truth and live by it. So listen to wisdom. Keep her ways. Hear instruction, verse 33. Hear instruction or discipline or correction. Proverbs 3:11, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, same word, or be weary of his reproof. A lot of wisdom comes from having made a mistake and being corrected or disciplined or instructed regarding it and learning from that mistake. I hope you know that by experience. When we listen and heed correction, it makes us wise. Many people will ignore instruction or correction, and so they don't learn from their mistake. They make a mistake, and somebody says, hey, here's how you could have done that differently. Here's a better option, a better way. Goes in one ear and out the other. And they come to the same situation again, and they do the same thing. They make the same mistake. And you go, didn't I tell you how you could handle that better? Maybe you've seen that with your children. Maybe you've seen it in your own life. I'm guessing that I'm not the only one that has made the same foolish mistake repeatedly, whether it's when you're trying to do plumbing work, when you're not very good at it, or whether it's something much more significant. Repeatedly sinning in the same ways, repeatedly putting yourself in the same position to be tempted to sin. And somebody says, look, you're falling again and again. Don't go down that path that leads to temptation. And you go down it again. You've ignored instruction or discipline or correction. Don't neglect it. That's part of getting wisdom. How difficult that is for proud youth who love their own way. And we think those who correct are foolish or old-fashioned. And so we chafe against that wise instruction and think that we know better. To you who are young, don't neglect the instruction and discipline of the wise. And how difficult for older people who are set in their ways and think they already know to receive a rebuke or correction or discipline or instruction from someone. Someone comes alongside and says, I think maybe this might be of help to you. I don't need that. Because we're old and set in our ways. And we think we don't need that. We don't need direction. That's folly to ignore helpful, true, genuine correction and discipline. Right, so we're to get wisdom. We are to heed instruction or correction. We're to keep the ways of wisdom that we hear. And then sort of collecting it all together. Keep watch and wait and find wisdom in verses 34 through 36. Blessed is the one who listens to me. There it is again. Watching daily at my gates, waiting, keeping, guarding beside my doors. Whoever finds me finds life. Put yourself, I think what we're getting here is put yourself in a position to hear wisdom. Wait by wisdom's gates. Stand outside her door. Find wisdom. Do whatever it takes to get it. And so we've talked about it. Wisdom is in the Bible, so put yourself in a position to hear wisdom. Open up your Bible and read it. It's in the preaching of the Word, so make sure you're there when the Word is being preached. It comes from your parents, so make sure that you seek out their wisdom and instruction. Listen when they teach you instead of putting yourself in the path of sin and temptation, which Proverbs often warns against. And sometimes we're very good at that, putting ourselves in harm's way. Instead of doing that, put yourself in a position to hear wisdom. Don't miss an opportunity to listen to and learn from the voice of wisdom. Make sure you find wisdom, and you will find her here in the Word of God. Stay by her doorway. And friends, this is contrary to what you will be told by the world. They will tell you to come and put yourself in harm's way. They won't describe it in those terms. They will encourage you to go to places where you will find pleasure. They will encourage you to do things that will actually, they'll say it'll be good, it'll be wonderful. And what they're doing is actually encouraging you to stand in the way of folly. They're encouraging you to go in a place that you will be harmed, that you will be eventually destroyed. They'll put you in the path of folly that leads to death. They'll tell you that reading your Bible or church is a waste of time. Why do you go there? Why do you burn a whole day on worshiping God? And you'll find yourself in the midst of a great struggle. Keep watch and guard or wait by wisdom's door so that you may avoid the way of folly. This will be a great conflict of your lives, perhaps the great conflict. Others can probably all be boiled down to this. Will you listen to the voice of wisdom? Or will you listen to the voice of folly? Which voice are you listening to this morning as we gather? Are you listening to the voice of wisdom or folly? You're here. That's a good sign. You've come to hear the voice of wisdom. Maybe you're here because your parents dragged you here. Maybe you wouldn't want to be here. Maybe you're here because you're not sure. But what will you listen to? Where will you put yourself in a position to your wisdom, or in a dangerous place from which you could so easily stumble and fall? You read through Proverbs and you get that again and again. Are you in the way that leads to death or in the way that leads to life? The way of wisdom or the way of folly? Who are you listening to? Getting wisdom then is our task. Put yourself in a position to hear that voice. Watch and wait and find wisdom. All right? So that's what we're to do. We're to be getting wisdom. We primarily find it here in the Word of God. All right? So that's what we're to do. Get wisdom. Let's talk a little bit now about the frequency with which we're to do it. How often should we be getting wisdom? Daily. Every day. We should be getting wisdom. The task of waiting at wisdom's doorpost for instruction is not a sporadic one. It's not here or there. It's not when you feel like it. It's not every so often. It's like eating or drinking or brushing your teeth or bathing. If these things aren't done daily, we lose our health, our hygiene, and so too, if we're not daily getting wisdom, our spiritual health will suffer. Daily. Literally, it says day, day. See it there in verse 34. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching day, day at my gates. It's a repetition of the word day. That indicates something that takes place on a regular daily basis. It's used in different places with the same meaning. Potiphar's wife daily pursued Joseph in Genesis 39. The Israelites gathered manna daily, except on the Sabbath. Exodus 16. Listen to Psalm 68 and verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. God is our salvation. We know that's true, don't we? Does God ever take a break from bearing us up? No, it's daily. Day by day by day by day by day, God bears us up. If He didn't, we wouldn't be here today. Without exception, He bears us up daily. And this is to be the daily pursuit of wisdom. Daily means every day, unless there's an exception given, like collecting manna on the Sabbath, and no exception is given here. Verse 34 says, we'll be blessed if we wait daily at wisdom's gate and listen to her. Remember what we said earlier about the places we can wait for and listen to wisdom: God's Word, preaching and teaching, parents, and the creation around us. Given those truths, let me exhort you to some daily practices. Now, I understand that this is not an explicit command to listen daily. It's assumed. Blessed is the one who does do this. But given what we know of God's Word and our needs, it's a fair deduction to say we need to be in God's Word daily. And what we know of the importance of God's Word and its usefulness and its blessing and how desperate we are for it. I won't go so far as to say if you miss a day in God's Word that it's a sin. But a regular pattern of neglect of God's Word is sinful, spiritual sickness. And so we need to daily be in God's Word. Daily, so a few practices to encourage you towards. The daily reading of Scripture. If God's Word is where we preeminently find wisdom, and it is, it's where we're made wise unto salvation, if it's where we're to learn how to live aright, and it is, then we must be reading it daily. Waiting daily at wisdom's door. Pick up this book and read it. And do it every day. Acts 17, verse 11. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. They were examining, the apostles taught, so they started examining the scriptures daily. have a plan to be daily in the Scriptures. Let's just talk real practically for a moment. I commend a few things to you. I commend having a schedule, having a plan. Lots of good Bible reading plans out there. You can find them online. You can find them on an app on your phone. Usually Ligonier Ministries or Tim Challies will post a roundup of good Bible reading plans towards the start of the year. If you get on Google and you Google Ligonier Bible reading plans, you'll find a blog post with a bunch of different options for a good way to read through the Bible throughout the year. There's different ways you can do that. You can read the whole Bible in a year. That's ambitious, especially if you haven't been in the practice of reading regularly. If you've not been reading regularly, say, I'm going to read the whole Bible this year, you will quickly get discouraged. Because it takes quite a bit, quite a few chapters, maybe 4 or 5 chapters a day to get through the whole Bible in a year. And then if you get behind a day, then you've got 10 chapters the next day, and it just very quickly gets overwhelming. And so if you're not in the habit, don't go out of here. I need to be in the Bible every day. I'm going to read the whole Bible this year. Don't start there, okay? If you're regularly in God's Word, it's already a practice. Good. Read the whole thing in a year. You could just the Old Testament, or take just the New Testament, the book of Proverbs. I know, I've told you this before. Proverbs has 31 chapters. How many days are there in most months? 31. 31 chapters, 31 days. A chapter of Proverbs a day. Immensely practical, relatively easy way to get into reading God's Word daily. And there's always some nugget. You could almost go like this in Proverbs and find something helpful. Find something practical that you can take with you that day. I don't recommend reading the Bible that way, by the way. Just kind of blindly point. I'm just saying that Proverbs is so packed full of practical stuff, it would be hard to miss there. And so that can be a great way if you're not in the habit. And then you've read through Proverbs 12 times in 1 year, and you've started to get familiar with that book. You can read through the Psalms in a month if you read 5 Psalms a day for 30 days or stretch it out over a longer period. Something that I'm planning to do this year, reading through a shorter book of the Bible in a concentrated way 30 or 15 times in a month. You can read 2 John in a day. You can read 2 John about 2 minutes. Okay. So taking a shorter book of the Bible and reading it either over the course of 1 or 2 or 3 days in a month. And so after the end of a month, you've read it 10 or 15 or 30 times. And that way you get more deeply familiar with a particular book instead of sort of a passing overview of a greater amount of territory. You want to think, I've started with Galatians in January. And just if you do 2 chapters a day, you can read it in 3 days. So you can do it 10 times in a month. I bet if you do that, you'll be a lot more familiar with Galatians at the end of January than you were at the beginning of January. And it's a pretty low-level commitment. I'm not trying to encourage low-level commitment, but if you're just getting started, don't bite off more than you can chew. You'll quickly get discouraged and then throw it out the window. And then you'll get to next January and go, oh, I really need to be reading God's Word every day. There's lots of different plans out there. Like I said, look up one of those, Ligonier online. Their blog post has a nice summary of them, or Tim Challies. I don't think he did a summary this year, but he has other years, and you can find that. Have a systematic way of reading through the Bible. And not just reading to say you've read, truly listening to the voice of wisdom. And then putting into practice what you've read. Take some truth from your reading that day and try to remember it through the day. Maybe jot something down and carry it with you. Apply it through the day. Read with prayer. Open my eyes that I may understand wonderful things from your law. Pray that God would help you to see and understand as you read. Don't just read, okay, I've done my reading. Good. Pastor said I should do that, so I've done it. If you haven't soaked anything up, you've wasted your time. If you haven't prayed for help to receive the truth of the Word, you'll be doing it in vain. The reason I said earlier that this is a convenient time of year to talk about this is that many plans aim to get through a certain portion of Scripture in the space of a year. And so the beginning of a year is a good time to talk about it. Other plans, you can proceed at your own pace or cover a smaller time frame, so you don't have to start on January 1. That's good because it's January 3rd. So again, don't be discouraged that you're already 2 days behind. You can pace yourself. There's different plans out there to do that. But regardless, make a plan to be in the Word regularly. It's essential for your spiritual well-being. You see this, watching daily at my gates. Are you daily at Wisdom's Gate? And if you're not, you need to be. Let me encourage you to a regular practice of family devotions or family worship. Children, if your parents do this, don't despise it. Maybe your dads try to lead in this and you've tried and tried and tried and failed and failed and failed. If you're not the greatest scripture explainer ever and your kids are agreeing with that, that's okay. I'm not necessarily either. But don't lose heart. You can use a book that does some of the heavy lifting for you. I can give you some suggestions on good books for family worship. Parents, don't despise regularly pointing your children to the Scriptures. The Scriptures almost assume that you will be regularly teaching your children. They tell us, raise your children in the fear and instruction of the Lord. They tell you to do it. But Proverbs, it's a father's instruction to his children. He says, Proverbs 1, 8, 9, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. You see, it's assumed. Children, pay attention to your parents' teaching. It's assumed that the parents will be teaching, instructing their children in the truth of God's Word. Make sure you do that. Make sure you do it regularly. And if you've gotten discouraged and you've quit, pick it back up. I know that it's hard. I know that schedules are crazy. That's not an excuse. It rather shows us how we must make it a priority. But I can give you some suggestions for books that help you do that work. Maybe it will only be 5 minutes. Start somewhere. Maybe it's 5 minutes before you all get out the door in the morning, before you leave for work or for school. Our family has found that the best time is for us is right after we eat dinner. We usually have dinner together as a family. And so we're all together. Before we get up, we clear the table. We'll then come back and try to do something. It might be brief. It might only be going over our scripture memory verse for that week and praying quickly. Sometimes we miss it. We miss, okay? We don't get it every day, all right? I don't want you to sit up there, oh, Pastor Aaron does family devotion. We sit down. We have this nice, orderly worship for half an hour every day. We don't, okay? We got food. We got people finishing their supper. We didn't get to it today, and so we're grabbing them as we put them to bed and pray together at that moment. We don't have it down, okay? You don't have to either. Make the effort to instruct your children in the Word of God regularly. Make sure that they have the opportunity to listen daily at Wisdom's Gate. I know it's hard. Don't quit. Don't quit. You say, okay, we're going to do it again. The kids go, all right, we're going to do it again. We're going to do it for probably a day, and then Dad's going to forget again. All right, forget, and then pick it up and do it again. And pick it up and do it again a month later. Pick it up and do it again a week later. Expose your family to the truth of God's Word. We encourage regular attendance upon the preached Word. While every day is to be spent pursuing wisdom, the Lord's Day is given especially to worshiping God in a focused pursuit of wisdom. We don't have preaching every day, but every day that there's preaching, you should take the opportunity to sit at wisdom's door and listen and learn and apply. Not because I'm such a great preacher, but because I'm preaching the Word of God. Or because your pastor is, if you're here visiting today. If you're to be getting wisdom, here it is. Make sure you're here to hear it. Daily waiting at wisdom's door is the way to pursue wisdom. Be diligent about doing it. Ultimately, it's a matter of life and death. Matter of your spiritual health and well-being. And now at the beginning of this new year is a good time to make a plan to be daily waiting expectantly at the door of Lady Wisdom. All right, so that's what we're to do. We're to get wisdom, the frequency with which we're to do it. We need to be after God's Word, in God's Word, listening to it daily. That's the frequency. Third, and more briefly with these last two, the blessings for those who do so and the curses for those who don't. Blessings for those who get wisdom. You see it in verse 32 and verse 34. O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. 34, blessed is the one who listens to me. Just think in general blessing terms, the blessings that come to you from eating and drinking every day and bathing and brushing your teeth. You maintain your physical well-being, and that's a blessing. Similarly, when you feed your soul every day through the pursuit of wisdom, you maintain your spiritual well-being. Maybe you don't notice that. Maybe you're in the habit. You're like, well, I don't know. Life is just kind of ordinary. It seems the same to me. I'm not going to say this, but I'm not going to tell you to do this, encourage you to do this. Try giving it up for a week. Try giving it up for a month and then see how things are going. Don't actually do that, okay? Don't stop. Right? But think hypothetically how that would go. People would call you a fool if you tried that with food. I'm just going to give up eating for a month and see how that goes. I'm just going to eat maybe once a week. Maybe I'll get to church on Sunday. Maybe once a week we'll try that. That's not going to go well. People would call you a fool if you didn't eat and drink every day. But that's what you're doing to your soul if you say, I'll go to church on Sunday and that'll hold me for the week. That's better than no spiritual food, but you need to be feeding yourself regularly and you'll be blessed because of it. The blessing of spiritual health and well-being is incalculable. A life of joy and peace. Listen to a life of spiritual health. A life of joy and peace. A calm confidence in turmoil. Wisdom to know how to handle difficult situations. Strength to resist temptation, the ability to reflect the light of Christ to all those you meet. Those are some of the spiritual blessings that flow to those who are pursuing wisdom. And if you're lacking in some of those blessings, it's certainly not the only possible cause, but it's a possibility. Has your love for God and His Word grown cold? Have you faltered in regularly pursuing wisdom? If you have, don't be surprised when your spiritual health isn't great, when you don't know what to do in difficult situations, when you find yourself easily giving into temptation. You're missing out on the spiritual blessing that comes from regularly being in the Word. If you find yourself cold, if you find yourself struggling in all of these things, ask yourself, has your daily, regular intake of God's Word dried up? There's blessing for getting wisdom. There's life. Verse 35. Whoever finds me, finds wisdom, finds life. We just noted you'll have healthy, vigorous, spiritual life this side of heaven, but also eternal life after death. Consistently, you will find throughout Proverbs that the way of wisdom ends in life. It's not because God will look down at you and say, oh, that one's wise. I'll save him. I'll take him to heaven. No, the path of wisdom is walked by those who are in love with the one who is the wisdom of God. And that is Jesus Christ. Listen to 1 Corinthians 1. It's part of verse 24 and 30. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Jesus is the wisdom of God. And the height of wisdom is to trust in this Jesus Christ. And it's only by His grace that you will ever walk in the way of wisdom. If you are regularly pursuing wisdom, thank God for it, because you wouldn't be if Christ hadn't changed your heart and given you a heart for Him. It's in Christ, the wisdom of God, that we have life. You'll find favor from the Lord in the pursuit of wisdom. Verse 35 obtains favor from the Lord, something we long for of great benefit to us. And this too is for those who are in Christ. God's smile upon us. When that's true, our lives are greatly blessed. When we're not the recipients of His favor, we suffer. If given the choice, do you not want the favor of the one who made you and the world? You'd be a fool to say no. I don't want God's favor. Foolishness. And so it's foolishness to not pursue the path to that favor, which is getting wisdom, waiting daily at her gate. Say, I don't want the favor of God, is to reject Christ. It's to reject wisdom instead of pursuing it. So if you want these things, you'll need to work at it. You need to listen and apply wisdom to your life. You can't put in no work and expect blessing. It calls for daily effort on our part. The Christian life is not passive, sitting back and waiting for blessing. Pursue wisdom, because there's curses for those who don't. Verse 36, he who fails to find me, who fails to find wisdom, injures himself. If instead of listening to wisdom, you sin against her or ignore her or don't seek her, you're just doing injury to yourself. If you don't feed yourself food, you're doing violence to your own body. And if you don't feed yourself on God's Word, you're doing violence to your spiritual well-being to your soul. And you won't be able to blame injuries, others. You see, it says you injure yourself. You're harming yourself if you don't get wisdom. Self-inflicted. You won't be able to blame other people. Oh, I'm not growing spiritually. Well, are you getting wisdom daily? And it leads to death. Verse 36, all who hate me love death. Wisdom leads to life. The absence of it leads to death. Some of you may fall into this category. Not only do you not enjoy listening to wisdom, you actually hate her. To reject Christ is to hate wisdom. And so don't be so foolish. This is to invite a death sentence on yourself. Don't reject wisdom, which is to reject Christ. If you continue down that path, it will be a death sentence. I doubt that anyone here would say they love death. Oh, I love death. But that's true of you if you fail to pursue wisdom. All who hate wisdom love death. They're stark terms, aren't they? So let's not mince words. If you're dabbling around with your sin, waiting for a more opportune moment to pursue wisdom, you love death. And that is falling. Instead, flee to Christ and find wisdom while there's yet time. And you'll see that it's a life and death matter that we're talking about. You can have life through the forgiveness that is found in Christ, who is the wisdom of God. And you can have it this morning. You come and trust in Him. That would be pursuing wisdom. So I hope you see the daily pursuit of wisdom is not just something we think is a good idea, so we repeat it often. Maybe you're tired of me, your parents, or someone else saying, you need to read your Bible every day. The daily pursuit of wisdom is the path to spiritual health and well-being. And here in His book of wisdom, God's Word, that should be very clear to us. So may God give us, you and me, grace and strength to listen daily to the voice of wisdom as it comes to us through the Word of God, and so lay that firm foundation for our lives. We can't do this in our own strength. You know that. You know that you failed. You need forgiveness. And that's why we need the wisdom of God, who is Jesus Christ, who has died that we might have forgiveness for all of our failure to pursue Him. Who gives us strength that we need to pursue Him. It's all in Him. So let me encourage those who may be discouraged today in our walk with Christ. Jesus Himself said, and He said to all, if any would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Did you remember that? You know where to take up our cross. Do you remember that it says daily? We daily take up our cross and follow Jesus. Part of that is pursuing wisdom in the Word of God. Maybe you have tried and failed before. Take your failure to God. Find forgiveness in Jesus and pray for grace to start anew. There's help and forgiveness in Him. You could talk to your parents or your spouse or a friend about helping to keep you on track. As we mentioned earlier, don't bite off a huge portion that will immediately discourage you because it takes so long or because falling behind even by a day seems like that insurmountable tough. Start with something manageable and realistic and get consistent and then grow from there. Same for those that have tried and failed at family worship. Keep it small. Keep it simple. When you miss, don't throw it all out the window. Come back again and again. If your life is impossibly busy, it makes family worship hard. It makes your personal time in the Word hard. I think especially this morning of moms of little ones for whom it seems like there is never, ever a spare moment in the day. And somebody will say, well, just get up earlier. You tell a mom of little kids that, and they'll just go, I'm already exhausted. I can't get up 15 more minutes early. There may be some things we could talk about regarding efficiency and productivity. That's for another day. But please know, life won't always be this way. It may actually be busier. But there may well be times ahead when your children don't consume quite as much of your time. And in the meantime, grab the little moments. You might not have time to sit down for 15 minutes. Grab the little moments in the day. You got a memory verse card. Put it over the sink while you're doing dishes. Take your phone with you to the when you go to the bathroom, and instead of checking Facebook, read five verses. Grab a little moment, here or there. I know that there's not time always to sit down. It doesn't feel like there is. Take those tiny moments that you can grab to review. You got the verse already memorized. You don't even need it. Poster, you've got it in your head. When am I going to memorize? Well, grab the little moments. Maybe it's something you do together as a family right after dinner. But don't give up just because it seems like there's no time. Daily soak up some bit of God's Word, however small it may be, and grow from there. Rest in the finished work of Christ for us. His work to forgive us for our sins, our shortcomings in these things, and to give us strength to pursue them all our days. We're to be pursuing wisdom, which is to pursue Christ. And He is our only hope for those things. So don't go away burdened today. Oh, He laid another burden on me that I just can't bear. You're right. You can't bear it. Neither can I. God will give you way more than you can handle. But then He will bear it up with you. He will give you all the grace and strength that you need, whether it's for this or some other burden that you're facing today. And so call out to Him, cry out to Him, beg Him for mercy and grace, and you will find mercy and grace in our faithful God and Savior. And you'll find it every day because He is faithful. Let's pray.